Welcome to Earth Day. I was told I had to speak from here so that everyone could hear me properly. An environmental nightmare began with an oil platform stationed 6 miles off the coast. Oil workers had drilled down a well 3,500 feet below the ocean floor. Riggers began to retrieve the pipe in order to replace a drill bit when the mud used to maintain the pressure became dangerously low. A natural gas blowout occurred. An initial attempt to cap the hole was successful, but led to a tremendous buildup of pressure. Expanding mass created 5 breaks in an east-west fault on the ocean floor, releasing oil and gas from deep within the earth. For 11 days, oil workers struggled to cap the rupture. During that time, 200,000 gallons of crude oil bubbled to the surface and was spread into an 800-square-mile slick by winds and swells. This was not the Gulf of Mexico in 2010. This was 1969, Union oil spill off the coast of Santa Barbara, California. And today you can go to Santa Barbara and you can still step in the oil that has come ashore. The worst oil spill recorded on the West Coast 41 years ago sparked the environmental movement. And Earth Day began to the 22nd of April, 1970. As a result of the 1969 massive oil spill in Santa Barbara, 20 million Americans took to the streets, parks, and auditoriums to demonstrate for a healthy, sustainable environment and to fight against oil spills, polluting factories, power plants, raw sewage, toxic dumps, pesticides, freeways, the loss of wilderness, and the extinction of wildlife. Unfortunately, today, we have climate change deniers, well-funded oil lobbyists, reticent politicians, a disinterested public, and a divided environmental community. As we could see, the results of the 2010 oil spill, where were the demonstrations? There's people demonstrating for who's going to pay for it and where do I and who's going to pay me for what I've lost. Nothing about the environment. Perhaps the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, the popular culture, the spiritual awareness of this Earth Day Sunday has some similarities to the events described in today's gospel. On that first Sunday evening, the disciples had hidden themselves behind closed doors, discouraged and in fear of their lives. They had just witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus on Friday afternoon and spent the long Sabbath day and night in mourning and disbelief. The religious leaders and the popular culture had turned against them. The crowds that followed them around to see the miracles were gone. Rumors had been spreading all day that Jesus had risen from the dead, and suddenly Jesus appears. He greets them with an angelic proclamation, "Peace be with you." However, it is only after Jesus shows them his hands and his side do they believe it is really him. And they are ecstatic. They rejoice. Now, if we could only read some of Peter's thoughts at this time, it would be very interesting. Maybe we would hear something like, "I knew all along you would come back." And suddenly, Peter's thoughts are interrupted as the Father has sent me, I send you. "Wait a minute, Jesus. What is this send stuff? Why can't we stay and have a party? It's not every day you come back from the dead. Where are you going to send us now?" And then Jesus breathes on them. And some scholars think that really this was the breath of eternal life from the risen Christ being given to the disciples. On our own Lenten journey, we've heard about breath. God breathed life into the creation. And the prophet, how could we ever forget about those old dry bones? And now this breath of eternal life is given to his disciples, and his breath is passed on to us today through the Holy Spirit, the Heiliggeist, as Martin Luther would say it today. The Heiliggeist, our comforter, our mentor, our advocate, and our prodder, the Holy Spirit working through us in this world to bring about change and awareness. It is by receiving the Holy Spirit that we can forgive sins or retain sins. Now, the absolution of sins is God's business, not ours. And the Greek text here for forgiveness really is aphieme, which means send away. What an interesting concept. We proclaim the resurrection of Christ by sending away wrongs, by sending away hurt, by sending away broken relationships. Or we can send back the wrongs, send back the hurt, and send back the broken relationships to those who caused them. How do we do this? We do this by building relationships. Our relationship with God should in all ways mimic our relationship with each other. We do this by helping others, including animals. We do this by supporting local farmers and businesses. We do this by living lives of thankfulness and respect. We do this by taking only what we need and not what we want. We do this by service to others. I want to tell you about my Aunt Fanny. She taught me to be an environmentalist. Now, my Aunt Fanny lived in Tennessee, so we called her Aunt Fanny. She was not only my aunt, she was my mother's father's sister, mother's sister. She was my great-great aunt. A thin, wiry, short woman with a shrill voice and a strong will. And you know, I have an aunt just like her. She chopped her own wood until she was about 90 years old. And she was not shy about ordering everyone around. She was downright bossy. Now, to get to Aunt Fanny's house, you had to cross a one-lane wooden bridge over a creek. And she always had a garden, and she canned her own fruits and vegetables, and she raised range-free chickens. She even had a composting toilet that we called an outhouse. And no indoor plumbing. Coming from the city, I always thought it was fun trying to prime the well on the back porch, because what you would do is you would take water out of the water priming can, you would pour it into the well, and you would pump. It had an old hand crank pump, and you would hear it go gronk gronk gronk. All of a sudden, the tones in the pipe would change, and you could hear the water coming up, and suddenly you would have clean, fresh, cool water. But you always had to remember to refill your water can again so that you would have water to prime the pump the next time. You know, we're talking about water conservation and planning here. Now, by the time I came along, you know, she did have electricity and she used it for lights and an old radio that she used to listen to radio preachers. Aunt Fanny only lived half a mile out of town, but she really didn't want anything to do with modern conveniences. No car, no TV, no air conditioning, and absolutely no gas stoves. She cooked on an old wood stove, and that's the way she liked it because she said that it made the food taste good. Yes, my great-great aunt was a conservationist and an environmentalist, but you know, she didn't even know it. Because that's the way that she lived. And that's the way that she lived in front of me. And she taught me that by living it in front of me and expecting us to live the same way. She proclaimed forgiveness by service and hospitality to others. On this Earth Day Sunday, you know, we have a lot of forgiveness to proclaim, to send away. The sins against the environment and our fellow person. We need to change the zeitgeist, the apathetic spirit of our time, the grüngeist, the green spirit, the spiritual awareness of what we are doing to the earth and each other is hurting, and it needs our help. What can we do? As Americans, we are 5% of the earth's population, and yet we consume 25% of the world's resources. It is a sad commentary on a society that has to rent storage space to put all the stuff in that no longer fits in your house. Petroleum-based energy is at an all-time high, and yet we are stuck in traffic with the AC going. Clearly, we need to reduce. And because the concept of taking, consuming more, and even though we recycle and we makes our conscience feel good, it's an unsustainable cycle. Where are we going to put all the stuff after we consume it? If we look at Calcutta and at I think in the Philippines, Manila these days, you will see that there are people in poverty living on top of their garbage dumps. That's where all their stuff goes. And what are we going to do? Are we going to relegate the next generation after generation, that those who cannot afford the high price of living to live on the garbage dump here? We really need to be careful, and we really need to think thoughtfully about what we consume and about reducing what we use. And the corollary to that, of course, is to recycle and to reuse. On the average, the majority of our food here on Oahu travels no less than 3,000 miles. And why are we buying bananas from Ecuador when we can buy bananas that are grown just a couple of miles away from here? And of course, they taste better. Buy local produce. Support our neighboring families and our local economy. Write your congressmen and your local leaders. Be the squeaky wheel that insists that that protection of the environment for the next generations to come is made law, that there are policies that require social justice and equitable civil rights. We need to proclaim the risen Christ and the power of forgiveness through good actions and deeds, and holding ourselves and others accountable to our inaction and deeds of selfishness. If we don't, then as Psalm 19 was saying this morning, says, and the skies proclaim, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. The environment talks to each other. If we won't, they will.